All right, what's going on, everybody? Paul Hickey here with NoOffseason.com, and I've got my main man, Andy Kaysen, with Football Card Quest and NoOffseason.com. Welcome to the Football Card Strategy Show. We're in week 10 of the NFL season, and before we jump into today's episode, where we will re-rank the football card rankings at NoOffseason.com, thanks to Andy's help, I got a quick question for you guys. Why vault your cards with the original marketplace? Because the eBay vault isn't just a way to protect what you collect. It's a new way to trade. Not only have your cards never been safer thanks to our secure, climate-controlled facility, but you're also locking in real savings. You pay no sales tax when you ship to or transact within the vault, and there are no storage fees for 2 years. Now just imagine everything you can do with all that money. And with eBay Vault's seamless in-app experience, you can track, buy, and sell your cards in real time. From listing your cards in seconds with eBay Collection to tracking trends with eBay Price Guide, managing your collection is more seamless than ever before. The eBay Vault, buy, sell, secure. There we have it, Andy. We've got a lot of vault services these days, and you've got your own vault in your office there, where you're displaying your vaulted cards at the Football Card Quest Vault. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. I definitely need a service like that. I've got a big box over here, and I try and organize it by player. But you know, the reality is, if I've got all these cards here at my house in a box, I mean, I don't look at them on a daily basis. I pull them out when someone buys it. So the eBay vault, you really sold me on it. I got to check that out and look at signing up.
Yeah, I think the eBay vault's pretty cool. They have the cards that you can buy for your vault are already authenticated through the eBay authentication program. So that's pretty nice. Although I think they are going to look to open it up to raw cards that haven't been authenticated yet. And I think that'll be a good thing because that's what PWCC does. And if eBay ends up doing that, then that could really be a game changer for a lot of people who, are looking to buy raw cards and save money on the shipping, you know, because sometimes you buy a raw card and it's only, $10 or less. And now you're paying, if it's not a plain white envelope, you could be paying $5 for the shipping, which is like, 25 to 30% of the card. So if you could just keep it in the eBay vault and kind of trade within the vault with those price level of cards, I think that could be kind of a game changer. That's kind of what StarStock was doing a while back. And, I think eBay just being the marketplace, that would be a good feature for them. But enough about that. I am super excited to talk with you today about football card rankings because we've talked about this before. During the NFL season, it's hard to keep up with this stuff. And you do an amazing job, probably a better job than anyone, at just the daily grind of the NFL, following it. What does it mean from a sports betting standpoint, a fantasy football standpoint, and a card standpoint? Like, what plays can be made during the NFL season? You're not only a genius at making plays, football card plays, year round with the off season movements and stuff and the hype cycles, but you're really better than anyone else in the game at making plays during the season. So being that it is week 10 and I am 9-0 in our card content creator bowl, I go up against Kendall this week. Had to drop that in there. Today we're going to kind of re-rank things. And I think that we should re-rank things I'm going to have you walk us through your top guys and we can talk about why you have them ranked that way. We can go bottom to top or we can go top to bottom, whatever your preference is. And, I think that we should think about it like more of a 6 to 12 month ranking, but also that can be influenced. Those things can be influenced by what you think is going to happen the rest of this season. So without further ado, let's get into it, man. Where do you want to take us with this?
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I mean, I think that we can just start off by talking about number one. And for me, that's Jalen Hurts.
Okay, Jalen Hurts. Nice.
undefeated Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, they get the Commanders this upcoming Monday night. They should be going 10-0. And looking at their strength of schedule, their projection for the rest of the season, they are a 99% probability of making the playoffs, 79% chance to win the division title, 35% chance to win the conference championship, and 18% chance to win the Super Bowl. That's the same percentage chance that they give the Buffalo Bills, and the Kansas City Chiefs are at 17%. So they're right there as the number three, you know, top team in the league, and they have a massive fan base, and the values that I've seen on Jalen Hurts are up considerably from before the season started. Like, I've got a new confirmed transaction on his PSA 10 Prism of $180, and the Burrow and Herbert are about $150. But then if I go and look at like the Optic Hollow, for example, the Burrow is $150, the Herbert's still about $200, and the Jalen Hurts can be had for $100. And then I look at their rookie ticket auto, and I find that Jalen Hurts is a $600 rookie ticket auto on average, like between $600 and $750, compared to the Burrow at $2,000 and the Justin Herbert at right under $2,000. So I still see that if the Eagles do actually run out an undefeated season, because they are the most complete team top to bottom with what they do, they could easily run out. I'm looking at their strength of schedule for the rest of the season. It is the 26th easiest. So one of the most easiest strength schedules remaining for the rest of the season. So there's a very real possibility that they could go undefeated. And I think his cards are just going to continue to go up, because the demand is going to stay sky high and the supply is just continuously dwindling. You know, you think about it, the supply for Burrow and Herbert have been dwindling for, you know, the past couple of years, and Hurts is just now starting to get to that level. And some hobbyists are just now jumping on board. And I think more and more are going to jump on board as we, you know, get near the end of the season and the playoffs.
I love that. I love Jalen Hurts. Glad to see there's a new number one. That's awesome. Welcome Chad Gill to the show. Chad's been my co-host on some shows. I think this show actually, when you were running late one day, but we won't make you feel bad about that. Chad, what's up? Good to see you. All right, Andy, who you got at number two, man?
Hey, and just so Chad knows, I am 6-3. I'm not doing too bad. I'm not a chump in the league. I think I'm in, you know, probably third place or something like that. But Paul's crushing it, man. Paul's crushing it. It must have been that fantasy football draft guide that I built and everything for you.
I give all credit to Andy. He built the draft guide and I just followed what he said to do. So
that was a shameless plug. So I'm looking at this and I like how you prefaced it by talking about long-term investing plus having a short-term perspective on it, right? Because we do have this playoffs coming up and there is a clear hype cycle throughout the playoffs where teams that advance deeper into the playoffs and into the Super Bowl, there is a clear appreciation in their card values. You know, the demand is sky high and the prices can get kind of crazy, like we saw with Joe Burrow last year. So, you know, I do have Josh Allen as my number two, Mahomes as my number three, just because they both have a 96% chance of making the playoffs. I am a little concerned about Josh Allen's elbow, but apparently the latest reports are that it's not super serious. He's basically questionable to start this week, and they're taking it day to day, but it's not going to require surgery. It's one of those things that's manageable. Apparently it's causing more issues with him gripping the ball. So hopefully he can recover. I know Bills fans got a big scare this past week and, you know, they lost to the Jets, and the Jets defense is for real, man. The Jets are hanging in there and they're actually, you know, tied with the Bills for first place in the AFC East. But there's also another team there with the Dolphins, which we'll talk about Tua and the Dolphins here in a second. But I do have Josh Allen and Mahomes as my number two and three, just because of the generational talent aspect. And especially with Patrick Mahomes, there's things that he can do that no other quarterback can do, Paul. I mean, some of the throws that he makes and how long he can evade pressure and then hit Travis Kelce on like this crazy sidearm throw from one side of the field to the other. And then Travis Kelce is hands down the best tight end in the league. Like, there, Mark Andrews was close, but Mark Andrews missed a few games. And so, you know, that combo, that, and they have a lot of talent now on their roster. And yeah, they're going to be right there in the thick of it come down the stretch. So I have Josh Allen number two, Patrick Mahomes number three. I have Lamar as number four, because I think the Ravens are doing a lot of good stuff on offense. Lamar is, you know, still doing Lamar things on the ground. And looking at the strength of schedule, they have an 87% chance to make the playoffs, 75% chance to actually win their division title. And I'm sure some Bengals fans out there and Browns fans want to discuss the chances of their teams taking that division title. But looking at their remaining strength of schedule, they have the easiest schedule remaining out of any team in the NFL, and they're already leading the division. So right there, that just, you know, and especially with Lamar going through these contract negotiations, I think that there's going to be an instant price spike here at some point. Maybe it doesn't happen this season. Maybe they get it done during the free agency time period of next year, but he's going to get a mega contract. He'll see an immediate hype spike. I'm sure they're probably going to draft, you know, some high-end wide receiver talent this upcoming draft. I think that would help his stock as well. And he's one of those guys that, compared to Josh Allen, he's just so much lower, right? And his talent level is very high. So I've got him right there at number four.
Love that. Still love Lamar.
Yeah. And number five for me is actually going to be Dak Prescott on the Dallas Cowboys. We got a vintage Dak Prescott performance the week before they went on bye. They're coming off a bye week now. And just looking at the strength of their defense, they have one of the best defenses in the NFL. Their pressure is super high, led by Micah Parsons, you know, who's making another run of defensive player of the year. And they have a 94% chance of making the playoffs, 15% chance to win the division title. It's going to be really against the Eagles, who the Eagles have already beat them once. So, but looking at their remaining schedule, ranks 21st, so new difficult, and they're just really well-rounded team top to bottom. I think the values of got suppressed so much throughout his injury period there. And Cooper Rush played well, managed the team and everything. And so Dak's price has got suppressed so much that I think there's a lot of opportunity for growth there. And as we know this before, Paul, the Dallas Cowboys have by far the largest fan base. It's close with the Patriots, but the Cowboys have the most Facebook fans, followers. They have the most social media followers across all the platforms. And they've been coined America's team since 1979. So Dak is right there for me at number five.
Yeah, we talked about Dak as kind of like being the guy with probably the highest ceiling going into the season. I remember you and I talked about that because of everything that you just mentioned. So it's nice to see him healthy and playing well heading into week 10, where things are really going to start to matter here. So Dak in the top five, that's cool. All right, who we got from six?
The other aspect of the Cowboys that is a pretty hot rumor right now is, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to sign with some team in the NFL, and Micah Parsons tweeted that he wants OBJ. OBJ is apparently talking to them, so it's a possibility OBJ comes back. They get him for the last couple games of the regular season, the playoffs. But that would be another big boost to Dak's values and the Dallas Cowboys stock as a whole. But yeah, that's just something interesting to keep your eye on. Watch Odell Beckham Jr. Auctions, because his cards are very much down right now. And I think they're going to start to go back up as more of these rumors surface and he signs with a team that is definitely playoff bound, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm really glad you brought that up, because I did see that news, and I'm sure everybody's seeing that news, and there's nothing like hype to drive card prices. It's almost like Dak doesn't even need to be on the field to see a spike. You know, it can be like a Wednesday or a Thursday in the middle of the week is what I mean by that. Of course, he needs to be on the field on Sundays and Mondays. But yeah, I mean, you could see a Dak hype spike with the signing of OBJ for sure. And it's just your decision. Do you want to sell him, or do you want to hold him? You know, with a guy like Dak, I wonder just to dig into this real quick before you get to 6 through 10, with Dak's injury history, do you consider selling Dak when there is a hype spike, be it an OBJ signing, a playoff win, or do you hold him?
I think he's an okay hold because for a quarterback, you know, they do have a long age production curve. I mean, look at Tom Brady, right? But even, you know, even I think the new norm with today's modern sports medicine technology, I think, you know, Dak could easily play to his late 30s. I mean, look at Matt Ryan. So I, you know, he's obviously got a lot of time left. So I think he is a fine hold as well because he's on this mega contract with the Cowboys and you've got Micah on his rookie deal and you've got a solid defense pretty much top to bottom. And I think they're continuously working to improve that. So I kind of look like he could get a big boost if they get a new coach. I think that is definitely a limiting factor there. Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I know you love Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, not a fan. I think their play calling lacks creativity. Like, you know, I could only imagine if they had a good coach, like, you know, like a Mike McDaniels or a Kyle Shanahan or something, you know. And so I think there's probably that in their future. We'll see what happens, right? Because they totally busted in the first round of the playoffs last year with some miscommunications, maybe some play calling issues there. And it could, you know, they could end up firing Mike McCarthy. And so I like it both ways. I like, you know, taking profit if it's occupying a large portion of your bankroll and you've got a nice like 50 to 100% profit in the card, go ahead and cash out. Maybe especially if it's not a super rare card, like you bought a Prism PSA 10, just looking at the charts and the trends, and go ahead and cash out during the playoffs. And, you know, or you can hold it long term, but you just understand, you know, those hype cycles will come and go. So, you know, that the playoffs are it's a perfect time to capitalize, or then during the draft, you know, is another time to capitalize, or then in September is another easy time to capitalize. And during the season is always an opportunity, but there's a lot more factors and moving pieces that go into, you know, trying to capitalize on a guy like that during the season. It really comes down to, you know, how good is he performing over the expectations coming into the season, and what is the team record like, and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point. So for those of you investing in Dak as one of our top five guys, know that if he doesn't live up to expectations for whatever reason this season, there will always be an opportunity to sell him in August or, to Andy's point, before then during some offseason hype spikes. So, Andy, good stuff. Who you got from 6 to 10? I'm intrigued.
All right, so number 6, actually, and I try and do my data analysis with unbiased, you know, but I am a lifelong Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. I've got Tom Brady at number 6. You know, Tom Brady has really not been playing that bad. It's been a lot of miscommunication with the wide receivers. It's been a lack of run game. There's been miscommunication with the offensive line. They've also let too much interior pressure get to Brady. So that's one thing he doesn't do good at. He can't run. You know, the guy's not mobile. He will, you know, just go down to the ground to avoid taking a gnarly hit. I mean, the guy's 45 years old. But he ranks number 1 in the league right now in dropped passes. No other team has had more wide receivers drop more passes than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But if I look at his deep ball, like, accuracy, he's still top 10. Deep ball catchable pass rate, still top 10. So, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, and they're still throwing the ball a lot, he ranks number 1 in the NFL, Paul, in pass attempts. So it's gonna come down to Brady's arm, and his arm is still throwing the ball well, and he's still the GOAT. So this is more of a short-term flip aspect, because we know that once players retire, their values actually slowly decline, you know, except for that Hall of Fame announcement, which we already all know that Brady's, you know, a lock. He's like gonna be immediately vaulted to the top of the Hall of Fame thing. They're probably gonna have their own exhibit for him and his own wing somewhere in Canton, you know. But looking at the strength of schedule for the rest of the year, the 27th easiest, like, they have one of the easiest remaining strength of schedules, and a 74% chance to make the playoffs. And with the Carolinas winning last night, that was even better. So that was, And I do think that, you know, you get the game in Germany this Sunday. I'm hoping that, you know, they buck the trend in terms of the drop passes, the miscommunications. It seems like it's starting to get a little bit better. Finally snapped a 3-game losing streak this past week with the win over the Rams. And you had that classic vintage, you know, game-winning drive from Brady with only 30 seconds left. So, yeah, he's my number six.
So speaking of goats, welcome to Oh My Shoes. He's finally catching a live stream. Good to see you, Oh My Shoes. We've got you and Chad as goats of the audience on the show with Andy. So Tom Brady checking in at number six. All right, who's next?
All right, number seven, I've actually got Tua. Tua with the Miami Dolphins. They currently rank first in offensive DVOA. They rank first in yards per pass. They've got two of the best skill position players in the league in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. It turns out that Mike McDaniels was very much part of the secret sauce that Kyle Shanahan had going, and he took a lot of, good lessons from that, and they're throwing the ball so much. Tua has been incredibly accurate in the short and intermediate sectors of the field. He's even been accurate deep, but there have been a few underthrown deep balls. I think the one hesitation that people have with Tua is, can he hang in there physically? Like, he's got a little bit higher fragility rating than Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen and Mahomes even. He can't take hits quite like those guys, right? And we've seen it. We had the scary concussion issues earlier in the season. But this Miami team is good. They just picked up Bradley Chubb from the Denver Broncos, who is a good outside linebacker. So they're trying to increase their pressure rate and get home against teams like the Bills and the Jets in their division. But just from a performance and passing standpoint and offensive firepower, I think the Dolphins are absolutely going to hang in there and be a force down the stretch. And with how cheap I still see Tua's cards right now, like the rookie ticket auto comparison, seeing Tua sold like around $400, the Prism PSA 10 for Tua under $100, like $90. And, you know, compare that to the $150 for a Burrow and a $180 for Jalen Hurts. So I like the upside there in Tua. It's got a little bit more risk, but there's definitely a lot of upside from the current values of a lot of the like mid-tier Tua rookie cards.
Awesome. Sounds good. So once you get through number 10, I have a quick question to ask you, but I'm going to let you keep going.
Okay. Number eight is Joe Burrow for me. I can't ever rule this guy out because he's been to the Super Bowl. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals right now, Joe Burrow is third in passing touchdowns. He's, you know, missing Ja'Marr Chase, which is definitely a big factor. But, I mean, they also have a very complete team top to bottom. And the guy does have some expensive cards. Like, his rookie ticket auto is $2,200, but he's just such a good player, good quarterback, a great leader. They have a very complete team, and I can't rule them out because there's a solid chance that they could easily be right there. But they do have the hardest schedule remaining for the rest of the year. So according to PFF, they've got a 50% chance of making the playoffs, but I can't rule Burrow out. So he's my number eight. My number nine actually may surprise you, but it is going to be Justin Jefferson plus Kirk Cousins. Like, I'm a big proponent of, if you're going to buy into the wide receiver or the quarterback on the team, I want to stack that investment with whether it's the pass catcher or whether it's the quarterback. And in this case, it's stacking the quarterback with the pass catcher because Justin Jefferson is so young, and what he's done this point in his career has been borderline historic, has been very much on a Hall of Famer pace, a Randy Moss-esque type pace. And so Kirk Cousins being a 10-year veteran, never really making the playoffs and always having this notoriety around his lack of performance in primetime games on Monday night and Thursday night, Sunday night football, and lack of playoff success. I think this is finally the year under new head coach Kevin O'Connell that they actually get it done here. I'm looking at them having a 99% probability of making the playoffs now, as they're four games ahead of the Green Bay Packers, clearly leading the NFC North. They're probably most likely going to take it down. 97% chance to win the division title. 16% chance to win the conference championship. So right now, like if you look at it on paper, you know, if the Bucks, if Brady doesn't find a way to squeak in there, I mean, you look at it on paper, it's a Vikings Eagles NFC championship game. And of course, you know, we mentioned the Cowboys, the Bucks. So those are some NFC teams that are up there that could easily sneak in. But I got to have, because there's so much upside. There's literally a population of 35 on Cousins Prism PSA 10. And there's, and it's like, I don't know, probably it's a less than $100 card. I was seeing Silver Prism Auto Kirk Cousins still sell for $100 in auction last week. And that's like a $2,500 Russell Wilson card. I'm sure that's come down a little bit, but there's just like, I'm not saying it's going to get up that high because I think Russell Wilson's probably going to get to the Hall of Fame one day. But I mean, just based on how well they're playing top to bottom and their playoff probability and the scarcity of his cards, like I just think it's got so much upside that eventually when they do make the playoffs and they win a game there, that the hobby's really going to gravitate and his values are going to go up a lot.
Love that. Excited for my Sparty to get there. So is Kirk Cousins number 10 or who's number 10?
Number 10, actually Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, because they've got a lot of coaching / miscommunication. He ranks right now fourth in drop passes. So there's a lot of lack of wide receiver talent there. Josh Palmer's turned out to be very average. You know, they're missing Mike Williams now on IR. Keenan Allen has suffered a hamstring injury. That must have been one of the worst hamstring injuries ever suffered in the NFL because he's been out since week one. And so it's like that was his number one receiver. And sure, Austin Eckler is an absolute stud, and he's basically doing everything for that team on offense. But they're still number two in pace of play. They're still, you know, I mean, they're throwing the ball a lot. He's just not throwing it deep. He's 29th in yards per pass. So not throwing the ball deep at all. And that's like the quintessential Justin Herbert, you know, deep bomb. That's what we kind of know him for, remember him for. So right now, he's got a lot of ground to catch up, and the Chargers have a very difficult road to the playoffs, only a 51% chance of making the playoffs, a fifth hardest schedule remaining for the rest of the season, only an 8% chance to win the division title. So there's a tough road for the Chargers up ahead. They're missing Joey Bosa. It's I've got him at number 10 because he's also his cards are still very expensive. They're still just as expensive as Joe Burrow, if not sometimes selling for more.
Yeah. All right. So, Oh My Shoes, at the beginning of the show, Andy rated Jalen Hurts as his number one overall football card investment, mainly behind a lot of statistics supporting that the Eagles will make it very far, and obviously hurts his age, his draft capital, things like that. So I would answer your question briefly, Oh My Shoes, with we feel very strong on the Eagles remaining probability of making it very far in the playoffs. We feel good about the Eagles. We feel great about Jalen Hurts as a sports card investment. I think you're referring to the Eagles in the streak that they're on. And we agree with you on that. So Andy, my question for you in 1 through 10 is, you know, Kendall and I have talked about this idea, this sports card investing philosophy, that if you were to just pick one player, and we know people do this, but it's hard to do. If you were to just pick one player to invest in throughout the year, which one of your guys in the top 10 do you believe you could sort of constantly flip based on ups and downs in their own market to buy low and sell high? If you had to pick one, not necessarily based on like who you think is the best player or the best investment, but who has the rises and the falls over the course of a year that you think people can profit the most on? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, no, that's a very interesting one. It would have to be somebody a little bit more volatile, and you could look at a guy like Justin Fields, who has really busted onto the scene here the past few weeks, and especially this past week after setting an NFL record with the most rushing yards by a quarterback in a single game. He had almost 180 rushing yards against the Miami Dolphins this past week, and he's vaulted all the way up to my top 29 overall in my hype index. And that was coming from ranked at 107 the week before. And so he's been very much up and down, right? He came into the season with quite a bit of hype, just being, first round draft capital, Chicago Bears, desperate for that franchise quarterback, big market. And then barely threw the ball, wasn't winning games, underperforming grossly. But all of a sudden they unlocked it. They started watching film of Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts, and they're like, all right, let's scheme this for Justin Fields. And now all of a sudden they're taking off, and they didn't necessarily win last week, but his graded card sold volume shot through the roof. There was like 150% week over week increase. His base Donruss PSA 10 is now going for like around $55, which is more than Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. And Mac Jones is actually second right now because of the Patriots and they're winning games again. And he's got that job secure from Bailey Zappi. So, you know, I look at Justin Fields as a guy that is volatile week to week, right? The Bears have not a good defense, and it just got worse with them trading away Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn. So it's easy for teams to rack up points against them. It's easy for them to lose games. They're still not playing really fast. So there's that issue as well. But I look at him as a guy that kind of fluctuates week to week. And I'd say another guy right now that has fluctuated as well, that has gone back down in the past couple weeks after going up, is Daniel Jones, believe it or not. After their start to the season, they got off to a very hot start, right? They were 6-1, you know, and before losing. So, you know, his values went up a lot. And then last week before their bye week, they had a very much a pumpkin week, and his values have gone down a lot, and they were pretty low to begin with. So he's another guy that's kind of volatile week to week as well.
All right, Oh My Shoes, don't feel bad about feeling like you're behind, because that's what we're here for. Like, our job is to be ahead. So we actually feel like we should be ahead, and you should watch us or listen to us so that you can not be behind anymore. All right, Andy, great stuff. Who you got from I'm going to let you rattle off 11 through 20 here, and then maybe we can recap that.
Sure. Yeah. So 11 through 20, and I'm not, I'll just go basically, straight off my rankings here. I don't have the sports card strategy rankings.
No problem. I can fill in up who I've got, but I'll let you go first.
All right. So, obviously, we talked about, Tua and I talked about that stacking philosophy. Tyreek Hill's cards are really expensive right now. So I actually like, in this spot right here at number 11, I like Saquon Barkley because he is the focal point of that offense. We've seen a big boost and increase in the overall performance of that team since Brian Daboll came in this year. They're not playing great on defense. So there's definitely there's some concern there around them just like not being able to hang in there, win games. But I think offensively they will. He's the focal point. The guy is super talented. He's getting a lot of spotlight, like the interviews that he had last night. The guy's got an incredible work ethic. He's still very young. And I think there's going to be some nuclear spike games for him, maybe as soon as this weekend, but down the stretch. And I like him as an investment, as I compare his cards directly to Nick Chubb, same draft class and everything. And right now, Saquon Barkley's cards are about half of Nick Chubb's. So I definitely think there's room from them to go back up, because they have dipped in the past few weeks.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Another one right here. And I like to definitely, I would say, one of the easiest ways to profit throughout the season is to buy and sell rookies, guys that are in their rookie season. So a guy that I've made money on earlier was Breece Hall before he tore his ACL. Made some money recently on Rashad White, made some money on Kenneth Walker III. So I like the ability because a rookie has very few rookie cards. It's a low supply, and the demand can easily spike out of control because there's so much of that fear of missing out, with the possibility of them being the next generational talent, right? And like kind of getting ahead of that next Mahomes or Brady or Justin Jefferson or Jonathan Taylor, whatever that case may be. So there's definitely some rookies on my list. Like I do really like Kenneth Walker III on Seattle. I think you'd have to shop them, right? You'd have to go on eBay and like actually stalk the auctions. And these are guys that can be volatile from week to week. Now he's up over the past 3 weeks. He's top 13 for me right now. But at the same time, I see people listing rookie cards on eBay, not really knowing what they should be valued at. When you're hunting down rookies, there's a lot of people listing those cards that are inexperienced. Because think about it, that's the product coming out on the shelves right now. And that's the product that people are buying into and breaks most of the time. So they're turning around, potentially selling those without looking and understanding the comping process and going and looking at the historical sales and kind of understanding what they can get maximum value wise out of the card. And now with Breece Hall being done for the season, with Damian Pierce is phenomenal, but he's on a really bad team. And then you got Kenneth Walker III, and the Seattle Seahawks are actually leading the NFC West. So I like Kenneth Walker III because he's a rookie. Then I also, right there with him, is Geno Smith. So if I had to, I guess, rank, what are we on, number 12?
This would be, well, if you're going Kenneth Walker III, 12, Geno 13, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I like stacking. I like stacking them together. It's I guess we could do that if we want to do different numbers.
That's great. No, this is what it's all about. So, and I didn't really rank Kirk Cousins in my notes. You said to stack him at number 9 with Jefferson. Does he have a different ranking, or is he just like tied for number 9?
I would stay tied for number 9 because Justin Jefferson, obviously, he has very expensive cards. You could still get into a Prism PSA 10, base Prism PSA 10 for a very reasonable price. But when you start looking at his rookie ticket autos, you know, paying $200 to $300, like, I mean, that's really close to what a Tua rookie ticket auto is going for. So there's a tremendous amount of upside. And like Jonathan Taylor, right? He was the 1.1 coming into the season, and now he's fallen all the way down to the bottom with the injuries and the anemic offensive performance from the Colts. They ranked dead last in the league in offensive production. So, and now Matt Ryan's benched, you know, indefinitely, fired Frank Reich. They're scrambling to try and figure out what the heck's going on there. So it'll be interesting to see what they do this weekend. But I gotta have Kirk Cousins right there with Justin Jefferson next to 9, and then
then we got Herbert at 11, Barkley at 12, Kenneth Walker III at 13, which is something I never thought I would see, but I love that, and Geno Smith at 14, which I don't think anyone thought they would see. I like that one too. So that answers I think Chad. Chad had a question about where he couldn't wait to see where Geno Smith falls in your list. So there it is, number 14. So we're going to get through safely number 25 in this episode. So we're on number 15 now. So, and actually, before we go to 15, and by the way, everybody, this will all be published, don't you worry, over the weekend at nooffseason.com. So check out nooffseason.com. And if you want to get a year free to our premium subscription, Sports Card Investment Report, just email me at paul@nooffseason.com, and I'm going to tell you how to get a whole year for free of our premium content. But the rankings will be posted, so don't worry. And I have a question for you. With Kenneth Walker III's card, you mentioned rookies. I think that's great information coming from you. If you guys all just kind of rewind the podcast a few clicks, you'll hear Andy's strategy on buying rookies on eBay and then trying to flip them because of all the hype around them and the fear of missing out. Definitely do that. But my question is, are you looking at like his score auto where he's in a pro uniform? Are you looking at his, like even Bowman University autos? Like what cards are you, I know there's other pro releases out, right? There's some pen pals and there's some things like that. So what would be like kind of the, I guess the top two or three to buy, and then maybe like the two or three to avoid for a guy like Kenneth Walker III.
Yeah, well, I'm avoiding like the Sage and the wild card Matt stuff unless it's autographed and super rare. I'm avoiding that stuff. I'm also avoiding Score unless it's autographed and or serial numbered, like his base stuff, even like color parallel stuff from Score is still only going to be a few dollars. Plus, I don't like the edge and corner issues that thin cardstock comes with. So right now, I'm like looking a lot at certified because virtually all their cards come serial numbered, and it's a hobby only product. Nice thick cardstock, good design, so you can get a serial numbered certified card and feel pretty good about it. It's also pro uniform, pro logos, you know. And then, you know, when it's got a rookie autographed, I'm open to like Immaculate Collegiate Collection or National Treasures Collegiate Collection, because obviously he's got a lot of fans from his time at Michigan State, but it's ultimately that rookie autographed and the brand recognition, brand appeal from an Immaculate or National Treasures. So I'm looking for cards like that. If I'm going to like something that's the thinner cardstock, the Elite Pen Pals variation on card rookie autos, like a portrait style photo, if you can find one of those, that's probably around $30 to $40 range. I think it's a very safe investment because, you know, there's very limited supply. I would say another very popular card that I've seen be super popular liquid is the turn of the century inserts from Donruss Elite as well. It's a very good design and a lot of people like that. And those cards sell pretty well. And I see the upside for that card being close to $100. A lot of those are serial numbered. They've got great pro uniform and pro team design. So right off the top, those are like the kind of the primary sets that I'm looking at. And really just the common denominator. I want to get the rookie autograph. That is the most popular, most liquid variation of his rookie card. And then when you target that, it opens the different sets that you can kind of look at and really kind of opens your scope and allows you to find some pretty good deals. And if it doesn't have that, then I am targeting something of him in his pro uniform with pro logos that is ideally serial numbered, and at the very least has like a prism finish with, if you're a very entry level investor, you only have like $5-$10, you know, maybe try and find something that's got color matched and short print appeal to it, you know?
That's great advice, because I think it's easy to make mistakes with buying football rookies during their rookie season. That's really tricky, especially with the issues of the release schedule being backed up and stuff. So that's good stuff. Need to stay on top of that. All right, we're at number 15, so let's get 15 through 25 out of the way here, and then we can wrap up with a quick little discussion. And, you know, so far we're not that far apart on our rankings, which I like to see. That means I'm not as far off as I thought to be aligned with you. There have been a few surprises in the last, like I would say Cousins, Barkley, Walker, and Smith are a little higher, but that's why we have you on the show. I mean, this is what we need. So who you got next?
Yeah. And just real quick to kind of wrap a bow on that Geno Smith conversation or topic. I mean, the Seahawks have a 73% chance of making the playoffs, and Geno Smith has the number one accuracy rating in the NFL through the first 9 weeks. So, I mean, this is like, at first it was a small sample size, but he kept doing it and kept doing it. And now they have this incredible run game. We know Pete Carroll likes to run the ball, but he's allowing Geno Smith to throw the ball more as well. And he's being very accurate, and they have incredible weapons in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. These are two of the best wide receivers in the league. So, I mean, they've got a really good team. So I'm excited for the Sunday morning game, but I just want to wrap a bow on that whole Seahawks discussion. This is a team that has also got better on defense. They're like their rookie draft class. They drafted a DB named Tariq Woolen. He has continued to exceed expectations, and the defense is actually climbing up. They came into the season almost dead last. Right now they're middle of the pack in defensive DVOA. So they've made some stops, and they're continuing to be incredibly efficient on offense. So they've got a real shot here to take down the NFC West.
Love it.
So we're on 15, right?
15.
Okay, 15. I'm going to go back and I'm going to say AJ Brown with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a guy that could have been a little bit higher, but see, the issue is AJ Brown doesn't have a spike week every week. 1 week it's Dallas Goedert. 1 week it's Devonta Smith. 1 week it's just Jalen Hurts. So ultimately, that's why I think the best investment, the number one investment, is just Jalen Hurts on the Eagles. But if you're looking at stacking him, I would say get some exposure to all these guys. But AJ Brown is definitely going to be the number one guy there, just because I think he has the highest ceiling. Like, he's got these 3-4 touchdown games in him, and he's just incredible after the catch. I mean, his numbers across the board in terms of efficiency is really, really good. Even looking at his dominator rating right now is number 5 in the league. And that's his percentage of total team receiving yards and team receiving touchdowns. He ranks 5th best in the NFL. So he makes Jalen Hurts look good. Jalen Hurts has been making him look good, which has been a big step up. And I still am seeing a slight discount, I would say, it could, because he's about the same in terms of value wise of DK Metcalf, same draft class, similar draft capital. But the thing is, AJ Brown's got about half of the PSA population that DK Metcalf has. So when you're comparing like PSA 10 Prism, for example, or PSA 10 Optic Hollow, or any of the, you know, the PSA products between those two players, keep that in mind. AJ Brown does not have a tremendous population because, you know, he played the first few years of his career in Tennessee. It's one of those smaller markets in the NFL, and not as much of his stuff has been submitted. And so I just like, you know, I like the playoff advantage he's got here and the big game spike potential. Still seeing some pretty good deals on a week. He's a guy that has a lot of fluctuation on a weekly basis, because 1 week he's putting up 3 touchdowns against the Steelers. The next week he gets 1, and then the next week he gets 0. But he puts up, you know, receiving line of like 5 for 58, you know, and helps them get to another win. So great team player, but doesn't always have those spike games every week like Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson, you know. So I like him at the spot right here.
All right, why don't you flow from 16 through 20 as quickly as you can.
Okay.
We'll have a discussion on that. Then you can flow from 21 through 25 and take us to the end of the show here.
All right. So 16 is going to be Travis Kelce, tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, stacking it with Mahomes. Obviously high playoff probability, best tight end in the game right now. And it's a long-term investment for him as well. He's actually got a podcast with his brother now that is becoming very popular called New Heights. If you guys haven't checked that out, you've got that. They're so good at broadcasting together. So he's also building quite a bit of fame with that. And people talk about him being in the best shape of his life. So from a tight end perspective, I mean, Tony Gonzalez played well into his mid to late 30s. I think Travis Kelce's still got a few years left. The guy's just on top of his game. He's going to go down as a lock for the Hall of Fame. He's got iconic rookie cards too, as well, Paul, with that 2013 Topps Chrome product and 2013 being the first year for the modern day select and that kind of stuff. So I love Travis Kelce from a long-term perspective as well as even a short-term. 17 is going to be Ramondre Stevenson on the New England Patriots. He literally contributes over half of that total offensive production for that team. He's shown to be very talented. He's one of the top running backs in the NFL right now in terms of broken tackles and yards generated after first contact. And he gets a large opportunity share, and Bill Belichick wants to run the ball. He wants to establish the run. He wants to control the time of possession. And the Patriots are still in the thick of it, man. They right now, they're in terms of power rankings, they're 11th. They do have a hard schedule coming up, so it's going to be more running the ball. Only a 35% chance of making the playoffs, but just from a singular player performance standpoint and the market size of the Patriots, I think he's in a perfect spot right there. I think his values are going to continue to kind of go up. And then they probably will trade Damian Harris this offseason, which people then get even more hyped up on Ramondre Stevenson as the RB1 there in New England. So, yeah, Ramondre Stevenson is going to be right there for me.
So far, I'm feeling good about my fantasy team. I'll tell you that. Kelsey and Stevenson. All right. How about 18, 19, and 20?
So 18. All right. So 18 for me is going to be Tony Pollard on the Dallas Cowboys. We got to finally see a true Tony Pollard ceiling game last week before their bye week when Zeke got hurt. He hurt his knee. He was forced to sit out. Tony Pollard dominated with only 15 touches. The guy puts up roughly 150 rushing yards, three touchdowns. I mean, it was just an insane ceiling game, and his values did spike. But, you know, as soon as Zeke comes back, the guy is going to go back to being in that split timeshare. We all know, like, it's no secret about it. Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy, they want to give Zeke at least 50%. He's on this massive bloated contract. It doesn't matter how inefficient he is compared to Tony Pollard. They're going to continue to feed him that ball. And you know what? Tony Pollard is in a contract year, Paul. So I look at it from a short and long term. Again, you know, the guy is only 25 years old. He's entering the prime of his career. He's currently on the largest market doing great things. And there's a potential for him to go somewhere where he becomes the clear RB1. It'd be an immediate spike in his card value. So plus, you know, potential here with Zeke missing more time and just the playoffs for the Cowboys. He's right there with me for me because he's so explosive.
Awesome.
After that, I'm going to say, yeah, this is a tough spot for me right here, but I'm going to go with Juju Smith-Schuster on the Kansas City Chiefs. He's actually emerged as the Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver one. And ultimately, I want pieces of that offense and pieces of offenses like that. And I see his card value still underpriced. I mean, 2017 is an iconic product. You still got a lot of value to soak up there, especially whenever we get to the playoffs. And the guy, I mean, he's quietly putting up like a top 10 wide receiver season. I mean, he ranks seventh in red zone targets. So he's a red zone catch. He ranks fifth in yards after the catch. So I absolutely think that, you know, he's like AJ Brown. You know, he's not always the focal point any given week, but the Chiefs are passing the ball a lot. Like when they get into these situations, like he threw the ball 68 times against Tennessee Titans last week. So they will throw the ball virtually. They do not feel like they need to run the ball, but they you know, they're going to get aggressive, and Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be an integral part of that. So I think you can like kind of have a lot of, and plus he's on this limited contract with the Chiefs that could kind of vault him somewhere else as well. So that was number 18, right?
That was 19.
19. Okay, so 20 is going to be Justin Fields, and this is another singular player performance standpoint, because Justin Fields is emerging as a QB1. We saw the historic rushing performance. We know he's got a solid deep ball. They added Chase Claypool, gave him another nice weapon there, and this is going to free up some attention from Darnell Mooney, who's their primary deep threat. And we saw, finally, Darnell Mooney have a nice game this past week. Plus, Cole Kmet got two touchdowns. Darnell Mooney got one. Justin Fields ran in a couple. So, you know, everything that they're doing with Justin Fields emerging as the best quarterback from that draft class, I think his values are going to keep climbing. Because you have a lot of 2021 product in the market right now. But eventually it's going to dwindle, just like 2020 product has dwindled for Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert as they emerged as, you know, the top guys. And now Jalen Hurts is catching up. So is Tua. But Justin Fields is really taking a step ahead of Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, not going to be back till next year. So you could look at him as being hyped up again. But Zach Wilson and Davis Mills. So, you know, I look at Justin Fields as a guy that from a singular player perspective is going to continue appreciating in value. And maybe they miss the playoffs. Like they're not playing, they're not winning a lot of games. Like their chance to make the playoffs here is not going to be high in terms of power rankings. They're 29th. They have a 3% chance of making the playoffs, Paul. So this is not a playoff play at all. This is more of, hey, Justin Fields' values are going to spike next offseason because people are going to see how he finished this season and what they unlocked in him. And he's going to be the clear franchise quarterback for one of the largest markets in the NFL that has been desperate for a franchise quarterback for so long. And I think that he may have a bad game or two, or maybe they just continue to lose games and his card values either stay level or maybe there's some dips there and there's so much supply. You can capitalize. And then next draft hype cycle, they build around him more and more. And then coming into next season, his values are even higher. Clearly the highest out of any of the 2021 draft class, I think he's going to continue to climb.
Yeah, I think out of the last five guys, and it was hard for me to stay quiet through the last five guys, but I think Fields is the one that I feel best about from just a sheer risk standpoint. I see him as the least risky out of all of those guys. I think he's probably the most expensive, which makes sense because he's the only quarterback. Kelce, I love that call. I think that's a very astute of you to call out Travis Kelce for all the reasons that you did. I think he deserves to be in the top 20 football card investment. I think he's been completely overlooked, at least by myself at nooffseason.com. So he's somebody that needs to be up there. I love Ramondre Stevenson, and I love that he's having a breakout year this year. I think it's nice to see New England go with more of a bell cow back situation. And I would love it if they get rid of Harris and just give the rock to Stevenson all the time. Love the Tony Pollard call because you have to look at all aspects of sports card investing. You have to look at who is a big name that is going to get bigger after they change teams. And we know that that's not guaranteed that Pollard will change teams, but you have to look at it. And you have to look at it like this could be an opportunity to buy a guy for a cheap price who's proven and should get more of an opportunity and is still young. So I guess Smith-Schuster also falls into that category, just a little bit of a different call there. Do you have the ability to go quick through 21 through 25? We've only got a couple minutes left.
Yeah. Okay, you hit the nail on the head there with that last comment. Cause a lot of what I'm doing is making team bets, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I've got a bet on the Cowboys and Dak, then I want to stack him with, you know, Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb, and whoever's the most explosive athlete on that team that could have these spike games that has the cheapest rookie cards. So that's why I didn't mention CeeDee Lamb yet, is because his rookie cards are very expensive. A guy that's actually missing time right now, talking about making a team bet, we had Burrow at number 9. Ja'Marr Chase is missing time with a hip injury. So I like making a team bet there on Ja'Marr Chase. Also, T. Higgins is right there for me as well. So that's a bet that I want to make. Actually, that's a generational talent in Ja'Marr Chase, and incredible chemistry connection with Burrow, and the ceiling games for him are absolutely insane. So, and the type of plays he can do, it's just the way he can position his body at the point of catch to generate yards after the catch is like no other. So any opportunity I have to buy into Ja'Marr Chase cards on the low, I will take it. Like, And right now is a good time to be stalking those in auctions. So I would put him there at what 20, 21?
He'd be 21. And then you going Higgins 22?
Actually no, 22. I would go DK Metcalf if I haven't mentioned DK Metcalf.
You haven't mentioned him yet. There we go.
So yeah, DK Metcalf for me was very close to AJ Brown. But he's fine here because his cards are also pretty expensive, and he's not like, he's another guy that's not the complete focal point. One game it's going to be Kenneth Walker. One game it's going to be Tyler Lockett. One game it's going to be DK Metcalf. You know, so ultimately you could place that bet on Geno Smith, but then say, hey, here's a DK Metcalf, you know, rookie ticket auto that's $65, and understand that card used to be like $200, you know, and And so, and that's just the kind of the weekly volatility and where we're at during the season, and the fact that he's not in my top 10, he's not like going crazy above his expectations. So there's a lot of opportunity there to capitalize on a team that's likely to make the playoffs and just a generational talent with a ton of time left in the league ahead of him. And now they've got a really good quarterback in Geno Smith. So after that, at 22, I am going to go with Daniel Jones here. Daniel Jones at 22, going to go back to the whole Giants thing, 76% chance of making the playoffs. Plus, you got Daniel Jones in a contract year. What he's done to this point should earn him a nice contract with somebody, whether that's a re-up with the Giants, who have this massive fan base. So then you're talking about a price spike immediately once he signs that contract, or he goes to another team, large market. We know he's got draft capital from 2019, number 6 overall pick from 2019. And so, yeah, the guy's a little goofy. Sometimes he trips over his own shoelaces, but he's top 10 in true completion percentage, number 3 in accuracy. They're not asking him to do a whole lot or put the team on his shoulders. It's been very much a team success there. So, Daniel, and compared with what you can get his 2019 rookie product at, in some cases, you can might be able to find it cheaper, some cards cheaper than AJ Brown or DK Metcalf. So, and he's a quarterback. And so from that perspective, I think the hobby's slowly coming back around. I've seen 30 to 40% increases, but I still think there's a lot of room for growth, especially if they make any run the playoffs. And then you got the whole contract situation with him going into 2023.
Nice. You got two more left. He was number 23.
All right. So number 24 here. Let's see. Man. All right. So let's talk about Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions have virtually no shot at making the playoffs. 4% chance. Somehow they managed to pull off a win over the Green Bay Packers. But that's a whole nother story about Aaron Rodgers and that Packers offense. But so another thing I'm doing is I'm looking to invest in really good skill position players now. Clear alpha wide receiver for his team on a rookie contract. Great after the catch. Great at route running. Great at target separation. This guy has really emerged from that draft class. We know he's got an insane chip on his shoulder. He knows every single guy that was drafted ahead of him, and he is out to prove them wrong. And, you know, after week 2, the guy vaulted up to my top 10. He's since kind of fallen back down as he dealt with a little injury and then a concussion and the Lions. And so I like him this week, love him this week. I also love him moving forward into next year, because I look at the Lions getting a top 5 draft pick next year, drafting generational talent, whether it's Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, who's emerging, or Hendon Hooker from Tennessee, any of these guys. There's like 4 or 5 really freaking good quarterbacks coming out next year that are going to cause a lot of hype. And the Lions are probably going to get one. The Panthers are probably going to get one, maybe, if they stop winning games. there's a few teams that are going to get these one of these elite quarterbacks, and that's going to cause a price spike in the skill position talent that's already on the team. And I can get pro uniform rookie ticket autos, gorgeous optic on card autos, Amon-Ra St. Brown right now at a little discount. And those are cards I want to stock in the next few weeks as the Lions maybe lose a few more games and go ahead and have a little cachet of his cards for the draft hype cycle next year. And I think right now, within the next month and a half, is the perfect time to buy those.
This is what everyone needs to be paying attention to right here. What Andy just said, I absolutely love that strategy. I absolutely love that call for that guy. I think he is a stud. I think he's going to be someone who's going to be around for a long time that people are going to get very, very excited about in the future. So great call, great lessons so far on this show. Power packed with many, many lessons on football card investing. All right. We got one more guy, number 25. Who's it going to be? Who are you going to bring us home strong with, Andy?
Mike Evans, man. Got it.
He's gotta my go homer pick.
Got to go homer pick. He's my PC guy. But yeah, this is a play for, you know, he's a lifelong Tampa Bay Buccaneer wide receiver. He's going to go down the Bucs Hall of Fame. If, you know, they can get back to the playoffs, hopefully, this year. You know, it's going to go a long way for his resume. He's been dropping more balls than he normally does, but he's still Brady's favorite target. He's still the favorite red zone target. He's still a guy that can have a monster ceiling game. And I think that, you know, the norm, the trend that he's been on this year is not the norm. So it's a matter of time. I think this win this past week is going to be that little spark to get them moving in the right direction. So I'm really excited about Mike Evans' outlook for the rest of the season. And right now, he has dropped significantly in resale price and average resale value. So I think it's a great time to target his cards.
Is Mike Evans, for the football card investor who's looking to make money and not necessarily PC him, is he a playoff run flip? Because he probably will play for, you know, several more seasons, but he is getting towards the end. And so, you know, we don't really see like a spike in an Adrian Peterson now or a Julio Jones now, right? So is how close do you get to Mike Evans, the end of Mike Evans' career, before you sell him? Is he a keep him as he rides out into the sunset guy, or is he a sell him like after the Bucks make a playoff run this year?
Yeah, for me, he's a keep him right out to the sunset guy. But for investors, it's a quick flip. This is a quick flip. This is a parlay off the Tom Brady bet that they get to the playoffs and actually make a push. And this is a quick flip before basically Brady's career is over, you know. And then there's like that steady decline, because we don't know the Bucs quarterback situation is going to be like, or what Mike Evans' ceiling is going to be like. Now he's going to be 30 years old. You know, next season, and he's going to be playing with who? Kyle Trask, Blaine Gabbert. People aren't going to be excited about that. The Bucks don't have a particularly large fan base. You know, a lot of the fan base that has come to the Bucks in the last couple of years is because of Brady, because of the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I could very much see his values decline steadily after this year, unless maybe we pick up a fantastic quarterback in free agency draft time period next year somehow, if Brady does indeed retire once and for all. So this is very much a quick flip aspect, just based on the current trend of his values right now and with Brady and flip him in the playoffs.
Andy Kaysen is going to be holding up the entire Bucks fan base basically for several years after Tom Brady retires, but he's the man who can do it. My money's on Andy Kaysen, not only holding up the Bucks fan base, but holding up the whole no offseason sports card content network, basically, with his strength on the Football Card Strategy Show. Andy, like 1 hour and 7.5 minutes in, just gave you 25 ways to make money flipping football cards. So you're welcome, everyone. And thank you to Andy for being our co-host on the Football Card Strategy Show. We love having you on, man. We're going to sign off for today. I'm going to say cue the rock music like Kendall normally does. And we're going to do this again soon. Have a great day, everybody.
Peace.
And now we can cue the rock. Don't forget to check out nooffseason.com, where you can find all of these updated rankings. And if you want to get free year, email me at paul@nooffseason.com. Have a great day.